As we continue with our series on the call of God, you remember 2 weeks ago, we were dealing with the question, what is a call? We discovered two of the five truths that we're looking at is that a call is relational. When God calls you, He's calling you to a relationship with Him. And secondly, a call is redemptive. When God calls us, He calls us to share the gospel. He calls us to give people who are lost and living in sin an opportunity to be reconciled to God. That's called redemption. And now as we continue this morning on the second part of that, we also want to understand that a call is a call to missions. Every single Christian, who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, at that point is called by God. Every Christian is called of God to salvation. And in that same call is the call to be on missions with God in our world. This is what it means to be called, that God is seeking to bring a lost world back to Himself. God loves every person, and He is not willing that any should perish. And sometimes I think we don't realize that God has always been working in our world to seek and to save those who are lost. And this is what He was doing when He called you and when He called myself. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, and some of you had that in your Sunday school lesson this morning, he basically said, now is the acceptable time. He emphasizes that by saying, look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. In other words, he's saying the moment of our call was the moment that God would be at work to redeem His world. It would be God's strategic moment of favor toward the people to whom the gospel would be preached. Wherever Paul was at work, he was not only invited to join God, but he was giving the enabling grace of God to be used of God to bring multitudes to salvation, just as God had planned to do. Now, this is strategically important for every believer to understand. 2 Corinthians 6:2, again, we need to be reminded, says, now is the acceptable time. That is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Paul, when he quoted this verse of Scripture, was pointing to a quote in Isaiah 49:8. He was deeply concerned that the Corinthians adhered to the truth because it was God's time to save, and they were messengers for helping to spread that message. When we work race weekend, when we go to Town Point, when we're over at the men's mission, if we have opportunity to help out at the Shepherd's Place, wherever we're going, when we go to the garden Sunday on that Friday on that mission tour, we're going to see how we can help strengthen them to be a witness, to share the gospel where they live. Now is the day of salvation. Paul applied Isaiah's words to the present situation, that there is a time in God's economy when He listens to sinners and He responds to those who are repentant. And it was and it is that time. It continues to be that time even on May the 13th of 2018. The moment, this moment, is God's moment for each person. The time for God to work through you and I. We also need to remember, as we think about this being a call to mission, is that God is truly on mission with his people in our day. Now, I want you to listen to this next sentence very, very carefully. There is no situation in the Bible where only a few are called. Again, let me emphasize, all are called, and each Christian is urged to work worthy of the calling. Now, just so you don't think that this is something that Jim McBride has come up with, that's exactly what it says in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. There is no situation in the Bible where it says only a few are called. Just because you call a pastor and you pay him a salary and you expect him to have some training and education and ability to share the gospel doesn't mean he's the only one in the church to do it. You don't call deacons to be the only one in the church to do it. Every single one of us who are Christians have a story to tell about how Jesus has come into your life and changed you. And every one of you were created with a purpose and for a plan that God is working out in you. And there is never an excuse good enough to say that you cannot be on missions with God. And that mission never stops until you are laid in the ground because God's called you home or Jesus comes back in what we call the rapture. I don't know whether you understood that when you were first saved. Many of you probably like me, saved it as a child or a teenager, because becoming a Christian is an ongoing, growing process. We never get to the point that we can say, I've arrived as a Christian. And maybe you didn't understand that in the family of God, you can't go AWOL. That this is your call for the rest of your earthly life. And age has nothing to do with it. Health has nothing to do with it. Education has nothing to do with it. How you grew up has nothing to do with it. All are called. Secondly, a call is something that God initiates. God initiates the call. In this entire process, God takes the initiative to come to his people and to let them know what he is doing or about to do. Let me give you a couple of examples. God came to Noah at the moment he was about to judge the world by a flood. And unless God had come to him, Noah could not have known what was about to happen. But Noah did know because God wanted to accomplish his purpose through Noah. So God gave Noah an assignment, and Noah responded as a co-worker with God. Now, God has never asked any of you, as far as I know, because I think you would have told me, Hattie, for you to build an ark. Now, there's enough water around Delaware that people wouldn't think that's so strange. But what if you were living in the inland, there was no water nearby, and people saw you building an ark? What do you think people are going to do? Ha ha, Harry. What in the world are you doing? Have you gone nuts? Building an ark out here on dry land? And then Noah just happens to tell you that, well, yeah, and I'm supposed to bring two of every species into the ark. Oh, really? And you're telling me there's going to be a flood and it's going to cover the whole. Oh, really? But Noah did it because he believed that to respond to the call of God, you need to be obedient to God. And sometimes God asks us to do some pretty unusual, out-of-the-box, coloring-out-of-the-line things, doesn't he? God called Moses. And when God called Moses, he called him to work with him to go accomplish the purpose for his people. And you know the discussion that Moses had with God when he called him and told him, you're going down to Egypt and get all of my people out. The tragedy is that some of us modern day American Christians still offer the same excuses Moses offered to God. You may have used a few of them yourself. I have. So, but when God was about to free several million of his people from slavery in Egypt, he took the initiative to come to Moses and let Moses know what he was about to do. We also know that to his disciples, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. John 15:16. To the Apostle Paul and to God's people throughout history, this pattern is found every time that he is about to do a great work in our world. And it's still true today. And it is true right now for your life and for mine. When God calls you to do something, even though you may not understand how it's going to be done, even though you may have doubts that you're able to do it, look out. God's about to do something wonderful in your life and for his people. The call of God will always involves some kind of major adjustment in your life to be the person God can use to accomplish his purposes. For example, Moses had to leave herding sheep. David could not keep doing what he was doing and be king at the same time. The disciples of Jesus could no longer continue fishing and go with Jesus at the same time. Regardless of what kind of work you do, or whether you are retired or in school, as Christians, we need to respond to Christ as Lord of all of our lives so that he can accomplish his plans through his people. We need to remember that we have been bought with a price, and therefore we are at all times and in all places to make sure that we glorify God in our bodies, in our souls, which are his. One of the guidelines that we have for the volunteers that work at the Dover Speedway property that have been with us for all these years, and anytime we have somebody call or somebody new that wants to come and work with us, one of the key things that we tell them as you're working with the race fans or security or whoever, always smile, always be kind, always be gentle, always be humble. No matter what they say to you, what they try to do to you, what the situation is, you let the light of Christ shine in you. All the time. Take the high road, as I call it. And as we continue to go out as a church, and no matter what ministry we're involved in, or even if you just happen to get involved in ministering to somebody that has nothing to do with what we're doing as a church, it's just that God placed that person or persons in your life at that particular time out of the marketplace, always take the high road. Always smile and be kind and gentle as Christ would have done. First Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us that since God dwells fully within us and every place we put our feet is holy ground. Did you get that? Since God dwells fully within us, he dwells within us every day. He dwells with us wherever we go. He dwells with us whatever situation that we're in. And so every place we put our feet is holy ground, for God is present in them. That makes our workplace where God can accomplish these eternal purposes through us right where we are. That is, at all times and in all places, to make sure we glorify God in our bodies and in our souls, which are His. The classroom, the auto mechanic shop, the doctor's office, the lawyer's office, or even over here in Legislative Hall, all are God's workplace. I wish those guys and gals would remember that. The arena of activity God chooses for each believer, and He is entirely up to God. Someone once said, the command of God is to go, we will have to get permission to stay home. I like that. And so the call to salvation is a call to go on mission with our Lord in our world. And whatever God initiates in the believer's life, God expects an immediate, yes, Lord, when we make ourselves available to God. God can and will complete His work through them. John 12, 24 through 26. And then lastly, it's a call to obedience. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Record it in your mind. Take it home with you. And add in the marketplace and wherever you go. For many Christians, the greatest challenge is not that they do not know the will of God, but rather that they do know His will, but have not been willing to be obedient to Him. That's pretty significant truth. Neither God nor history waits on the believer's response to God's call and claim on their life. Every day, every week, every month, year after year after year, that we refuse to be obedient to God's call, we are wasting our time. And we are missing out on a blessing. God's call requires only one response from every believer, and that's obedience. And so once you as a child of God know the initiative of God in your life, you must immediately, without resistance or discussion, respond obedient to all God is directing. And it's only then will you and I experience God's working mightily through our lives. I didn't know all that God had for me when I accepted the association's call to come here as director of missions in 1990. I didn't know all the things that I would be involved in. Tough things, stressful things, but also things that were completely new for me, but became a blessing and a joy. And that's where a lot of us find ourselves when we're struggling with doing the will of God. This was true in the life of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was training as a medical doctor, and when God made it unmistakably clear that He wanted to reach the peoples of inland China with the gospel through Taylor's life, obedience was all that was left for Hudson Taylor to do. And so he was obedient, and God did reach hundreds of thousands, even millions of precious Chinese people through Hudson Taylor's life and those that God would bring alongside of him to preach and to teach and to heal in China. Here's another significant thing. It's up there on the video. A call from God always involves the people in the corporate life of the people of God. Every one of you here are called of God. Most of you here have been drawn to New Harvest Baptist Church so that corporately, together as a family of God, we can be on missions with God, using our various gifts and abilities to serve God. Even God's call to Abram involved all the people of God who would follow Abram. God's call to Moses directly involved God's purposes in the life of Israel, his people. God's call to Joshua or the judges or Samuel or David or the prophets, and even some women like Esther and Ruth. All of that brought them into the midst of what God had proposed to do through their lives as his people. You know, one of the scary things for me, and it may be for you, is when I think of the times over the last, since I became a Christian at 9 years old, I'm 72. So if my mathematics is right, I've been a Christian 63 years. But it's scary for me to think how much I have possibly missed that God wanted to do through me. But at that time in my life, I wasn't obedient. Or that moment in my life, I wasn't obedient. In the New Testament, the redemptive work of God was to be through the life of his people, functioning together in the local churches. Every Christian, all of us here this morning, should anticipate that God will involve each of us dynamically in the local church. That God will then, as he did in the New Testament, involve each church in the life of sister churches that he has established in his kingdom. Why, we're partnering with the Garden in Baltimore and with Second Chance Community Church in Philadelphia. Because we can do more, the three of us, than we can by ourselves as a church. The call of God is always a call to the whole world through all of his people everywhere. And this will also involve each church with churches of other denominations as well. Obedience is always the key to experiencing a life on mission with God in our world. To love God is to obey God. Now, I found a story that I copied, and I was going to read it to you. And this morning, in my devotion, God impressed on me that I have an even better story because it involves a family member that will illustrate the same point. Remember, I've said this morning that often a call of God means making some changes in your life, discovering that what you thought you were doing was the correct way to go, wasn't, and all of a sudden now you realize that after all these years and study and everything else, that God has something else in store for you. Our granddaughter, Hannah, is 22, and her fiance have started going to a church plant in Morgantown, West Virginia. And as many of you know from us talking about our granddaughter, she went to West Virginia University to study agricultural business and equine management. She has been riding horses, caring for horses, treating horses since she was 3 years old. And her dream was eventually to have a farm. And so about 2 weeks before she graduated, she was hired to work at a large horse farm in western Maryland up in the mountains. Well, before she even got a chance to do that, as many of you know, she was in an automobile accident where she was rear-ended twice in the same time by the same person. Totaled her car and left her with what we thought was a serious concussion and some sprains and other things. And for about a year, the doctors up there have been treating her for a concussion. Well, finally, the lawyer that's handling her case with over the car accident said, I want to send you to a brain trauma specialist in Towson, Maryland. So She made three trips there. He immediately examined her, questioned her. I was there sitting, so I heard, and said, "You don't have a concussion. You have a severely case of whiplash. You have your muscles that go up the back of your neck and surround your nerves are infected, have been infected for a year and a half, and are squeezing your nerves. That's why you're having so much pain." Now, when you work on a horse farm, that's not the kind of thing you want. When you're training people how to ride, when you're breaking horses, when you're doing all the work related to that, that's something you can't worry. And he said, "You got to go on disability." Now remember, all of her life, from 3 years old to 22, that was her dream, is eventually get some kind of work and with our cultural department or whatever, and then be able to have her own horse farm. She's worked several summers for a therapeutic horse farm, which is part of the story, where veterans and children who have PTSD or other type of problems, she would work with them riding horses to help give them some rehabilitation. Last week, and so she hasn't been able to work. She's wondering, you know, what is God doing? She's just gone through a renewal in her Christian life. And all of a sudden, she's beginning to learn and discover things about God and about her own self. And so Thursday, I believe it was, she called me and said, "Poppy, I feel that God's calling me into some kind of ministry. And I'd like to talk to you about it." And she was coming home this weekend anyway because of Mother's Day, and she has an appointment with the surgeon in Towson on Monday about her neck. I said, "Okay, we'll go to breakfast Saturday morning, and your mother and I will talk to you about it." She basically wanted to know, how did I know that God was calling me into the ministry? You don't know the thrill it was for us to sit there yesterday with her and hear her share how God has been working in her life and describing to us what kind of ministry that she would like to go. She'd like to get into a ministry where she can work with veterans that are suffering with PTSD because her fiancé is a 6-year Army veteran, 2 tours in Iraq, and he has not a really serious case of PTSD, but he has it. She was bullied in high school. She's always been a kid who related to the underdog. So she feels like she can really help people that are in that kind of situation. And so we talked and gave her some counsel as to how she can get started. She needs to go talk to her pastor, et cetera, et cetera. And we suggested some other things. And I say this story to you because, again, her whole focus for all of her young life has been in one area. She's out of work right now until the surgery is done and they believe it'll take care of the problem. She may or may not be able to go back to work on what she's doing, but that's really not what's important to her now. The important thing is to be obedient to God's word and find out how through her church, and she's already talking about getting her master's and getting it online through maybe Liberty or some other school, and an area of life that will help her to be able to minister to other people. So sometimes, folks, when you think you are where God wants you to be, he may call and take you out of where you thought you were supposed to be and cause you to make some very serious changes to be able to be obedient to what he's calling you to do. So where are you this morning? Are you really where God wants you to be? And if you aren't, are you willing to step out on faith and to be obedient to God and find out where it is that he wants you really to be? See, that's the key. You have to be willing to say, "God, I will give up what I've been doing, how I've been doing it, and I'm willing to step out on faith and trust you to lead me where you really want me to go.